Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. The South Dakota Highway Patrol is investigating a deadly head-on crash on Highway 212 that killed a former Clark woman. 29-year-old Brittany Munson was driving an SUV westbound when she crossed the center line and collided head-on with an eastbound pickup truck. Munson was dead at the scene. It happened just before 7:30 Tuesday morning, 2 miles east of Clark. The pickup driver, a 47-year-old man, sustained minor injuries and was treated at Prairie Lakes Hospital in Watertown. Both drivers were wearing seatbelts, and the Highway Patrol says there were no passengers in either vehicle. If the search for a missing airplane continues into this weekend, pheasant hunters are being asked to help. South Dakota's pheasant hunting season opens up this weekend, and the Civil Air Patrol says hunters in the field could be of assistance as the search continues for a plane that never arrived in Oaks, North Dakota, after taking off from Aberdeen a week ago today. Ground and air searches have not turned up any trace of the missing blue and white Cessna single-engine airplane, which is registered to a man from Hecla. The man accused of stalking the Sioux Falls mayor says his arrest was in retaliation for a federal lawsuit he had filed just days earlier. Christopher Bruce is on trial in Minnehaha County, where he's accused of sending a series of threatening emails to Mayor Paul Tenhaken between November of last year and June of this year. Bruce told the jury on Tuesday the emails were not threats of violence and instead were attempts to bring concerns about the safety of internet technology to the mayor's attention. Tenhaken testified that of the hundreds of emails he's received from members of the public since taking office in May of last year, only Bruce's have made reference to firearms. Governor Kristi Noem is excited about a new state veteran cemetery that's being developed in eastern North Dakota. Noem was in Sioux Falls last month for a groundbreaking ceremony, and she talked about the cemetery in a visit with KWAT News.
Yeah, this is a really special project that's been in the works for several years, but we broke ground on a new state veteran cemetery. We have a national cemetery in the western half of the state. We do not have a state veteran cemetery, and with the establishment of this one, it'll be a first for us, and especially in the southeastern corner of the state, it is a needed asset.
Noem says it will be especially beneficial to the families of South Dakota's veterans.
You know, really, our veterans deserve to have their family members close to them so that they can visit, to have a place to be honored that's special. And a lot of this project is funded by the VA at the federal level, but facilitated by the state, and our veterans organizations have stepped up with a foundation that they've created and that they're going to be raising money for to sustain it and to maintain it as well. So the state will have some, obviously, administrative role in this, and will have some dollars committed to it, but also if folks would like to help, you know, support that veteran cemetery, that's something that a lot of our veterans organizations in the state are working towards.
The cemetery is being developed on 13 acres of land near the interchange of Interstates 90 and 229 in Sioux Falls. Meanwhile, Governor Noem has announced that South Dakota is receiving three grants worth nearly $2 million to help South Dakota school districts prevent and address threats of violence. The grants come from the U.S. Justice Department. Noem says one grant for just under $1 million will allow the state to establish a school safety resource center that, among other things, will handle requests for physical security assessments for K-12 school buildings. Two other grants for $500,000 each will focus on establishing prevention and mental health training programs and will focus on technology and threat assessment solutions for safe school programs. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, will hold their Winter Outlook conference call with the media tomorrow. Kelly Sear at the National Weather Service office in Aberdeen tells our newsroom it'll give people a general idea of what kind of winter weather we can expect.
What you typically we'll see with our long-range outlooks are trends for what we're going to expect, usually out as long as a three-month period in time. So on Thursday, they'll be releasing the December, January, February outlook, seasonal outlook.
Sears says when you forecast that far out, it's more of a general forecast than a precise one.
That'll show trends both in temperature and precipitation, looking at large-scale weather patterns and kind of trying to pick up on clues that might lean us, you know, toward a warmer or cooler than average season or toward a wetter or drier season.
After record-setting amounts of rain this summer, some wonder if that'll mean heavy snow this winter. But Sears says it's hard to make that connection.
Not really. These large-scale patterns change with time. So, you know, just because we had an early season winter-like storm doesn't mean that's going to be how the remainder of the winter will follow. It's more based on, again, large-scale weather patterns and how they interact. And, you know, forecasting in the long term is not, you can't get down into the fine details and the nitty-gritty. That's where we work on the shorter-term seven-day forecast. But the longer term just is more about trends and what we can potentially expect for a three-month period.
Sears says you should think of the winter weather outlook as a planning tool.
Especially for agriculture, which is what, you know, South Dakota is a huge agriculture state. And so maybe there are certain clues that can help people plan for future, what impacts the winter might have on crops or the growing season or different things like that. So it's, again, it's very general, but it gives a few signs of how people might be able to plan for the future.
Well, after a very wet spring and summer, grasslands and pastures have grown out rapidly. The assistant fire chief in Yankton, Larry Nichols, says they're watching as all that grass begins to die out and dry out.
First off, if we get a hard freeze, now our fuel load is going to be up there. And the other thing of that is a lot of the people don't realize how much with all this rain, the extra growth. So what they thought was maybe safe, like against structures or something like that, it's not going to be.
There have been red flag warnings in western areas of South Dakota and Nebraska as the grass dries down and winds pick up. The South Dakota Agriculture Department is taking public comment through Saturday on their proposal to increase the tonnage fee in the Animal Feed and Remedy Program. South Dakota Association of Cooperatives Executive Director Brenda Foreman says the program is an important one that needs to be funded adequately.
The Animal Feed and Remedy Program is the program that actually takes samples of feed, making sure that as it is labeled, as it is used throughout the system, whether it is livestock feed or also pet food as well, that the labels on the bags is what you're actually feeding your animals. And it's been around, the program's been around for a number of years. The tonnage fee is currently the way that it is funded, and the department is proposing an increase in that tonnage fee.
Foreman says the association is reluctantly backing the 8 cent per tonnage fee increase to help keep the program going. The Animal Feed Remedy Program is intended to protect producers and consumers from contaminated or mislabeled feed. The comments will be reviewed by the State Ag Department and the South Dakota Legislature. Remember, news is available anytime online on our homepage, gowatertown.net. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.